What a joy it is to be here today. Elder Scott, President Samuelson, faculty, staff, parents, and graduates. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you as assigned by the First Presidency and the Board of Trustees. I am grateful for the honorary doctorate degree bestowed upon me. What a wonderful privilege it is to be at a university that would recognize and honor Christian service. Today, many of you are to be honored for your graduating, and that's why we come to honor you and this institution. It is a day to rejoice, a day to express gratitude to your parents, family, members, teachers, and especially your Heavenly Father. It is a day to acknowledge the divinely inspired purpose of Brigham Young University and to thank members of the church who support and sustain this university with their faithful payment of their tithes. Most of all, is it a day to commend you. You have kept the commandments, as it says in the Doctrine and Covenants, to be instructed more perfectly in theory and in principle, that you might, in the law of the gospel, and in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which most shortly will come to pass, things which are at home and things which are abroad, the wars and perplexities of nations, and the judgments which are on the land, and a knowledge also of countries and of kingdoms, end of quote. Recent events in these countries and kingdoms throughout the world tell us that we are living in the last days. The increasing perplexities of nations recall the words of our Savior Jesus Christ, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." It is a challenging but an exciting time. The gospel is rolling forth as a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. It is filling the earth. And now it is your privilege to help to move this great work forward. Not very long ago, you entered this university to learn. By and large, you've been successful in the world of school. But today, you walk out of the doors of the Marriott Center into another world. The question is, how can you be in the world and not of the world? As you go forth to serve, you will find your greatest success and influence won't come solely from the knowledge you've gained. It will come by what you do with that knowledge. The wise use of agency make sound decisions. In the next 10 years, you will make some of the most important decisions of your life. Those decisions will be regarding temple worthiness and covenants, choosing an eternal companion and making the companionship work for those of you who have made that choice, beginning your families, a life of service and callings in the church, where you will live, who will your employer be, and where you will work and how you will conduct yourself. Indeed, it is a decade of decision that lies ahead. Of course, there are some decisions that must wait until circumstances change and your understanding develops. But many of your most important decisions can and should be made now. For example, you can decide the principles or axioms that will influence your decision-making in the future. With this in mind, and with your permission, President Samuelson, I'd like to add a new degree to those who are graduating today from BYU. I'll call it the LLBA, Living Life by axioms degree. Here are 10 of these axioms, distilled from my own experience in living the gospel and living life. I hope they will be helpful to you in determining the principles that may guide your life. Axiom number one, it's not the obstacle that counts, but how you overcome it. Consider for a moment that you're an engineer of a train. As your locomotive races down the tracks, you look out the window. In the distance, you see a great pile of debris blocking your way. What do you do? You can radio ahead for help. You can stop the train and take care of the problem yourself. Or you can pour coal into the burner and let the engine plow through the trouble. Now it's axiomatic that we will all encounter obstacles in our life. Temporal obstacles make eternal development possible. So you must decide how to meet those obstacles. Like the engineer, you can call for help. By prayer, fasting, diligent study, you can obtain assistance from our Heavenly Father and from the Holy Ghost. He will comfort us, strengthen us, and enlighten us by His Holy Spirit. Often, He will give us inspired counsel through parents and priesthood leaders. Sometimes He will smooth our path by removing the obstacle. Sometimes, like a switchman, He will help us to get on a different track. But from time to time, the only way to clear debris from the track is to stop the train and to take care of the problem. This is always true when the obstacles are of our own making, such as when we violate one of the Lord's commandments. Repentance is the only way to clear the debris of sin and move forward in our lives. By this ye may know if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them. Finally, there are times when Heavenly Father directs us to put on and to pour on our spiritual goal, and with faith and hope, plow ahead with hope. Or, to use the more scriptural phrase, press forward. Wherefore, ye must press forward in steadfastness in Christ, having a brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Lord, ye shall have eternal life. Axiom number two, pursue your goals with all the heart, might, mind, and strength. You are doomed for failure if you pursue them in a vacillating manner. So often we are tentative and don't move forward with conviction. We feel our way along as if we were afraid in the dark. It is so much better to turn on the light of faith and move ahead with energy and commitment. If our course is wrong, we will quickly recognize it and make the necessary adjustments. But if we pursue a course tentatively, indecisively, it is difficult to know whether it is right or wrong in time to correct it and make a difference. The Lord said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. I would hope we would choose that of being active and being hot. We should decide now to make our decisions prayerfully and then move forward. Forward with faith and energy and determination. As one novelist said, if you're going to have steam in the kettle, you've got to have a fire in the stove. Axiom number three. From a tiny spark can come great conflagration. In the course of moving forward, it is natural to generate a few sparks. Misunderstandings, differences of opinion, and diverse personalities and styles can produce friction. Remember, if we are not careful, little things can easily become big things. Decide now to extinguish the sparks of conflict by thinking well of others and being kind to others. As the Lord taught, Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. Don't criticize. Don't murmur. What you say about others may and usually does get back to them. See the good in people and develop that goodness by your own unwavering friendship, acceptance, loyalty, trust, and love. Axiom number 4. Our greatest strengths can become our greatest weaknesses. At this university, you have prepared well to successfully complete your assignments. You have studied, memorized, and conceptualized to please your professors, pass your exams, and complete your courses. You have become very good at it. This has been a great strength to you, but it can also become a great weakness if you do not rely on the gifts which have been given to you and solely rely on just the abilities that you have learned in a university. If you are not careful, the skills you have gained can be very self-serving. When not properly balanced and in the world outside of the university, can become very limiting. For instance, you may know how to write a good paper, but if you cannot get along with other people, you may fail. You must now apply the knowledge you have gained to strengthen the church, your family, your work, the community, and your friendships. Our greatest strengths can become weaknesses to us whenever we forget that our gifts and talents and intellect are given to us by God. Whenever we rely on the natural man and forget that God is the giver of all gifts of life, if we would keep our strength from turning to weaknesses, we must confess his hand in all things and obey his commandments. Axiom 5. Failure is one of the greatest teachers we have, if we have the faith to learn from it. The Savior said, "In the world, ye shall have tribulation." But because he has overcome the world, we can be of good cheer. No failure is permanent. Therefore, we should embrace the opportunity to learn from our mistakes, analyze where we could have done better, and make plans to improve. In doing so, we discover that setbacks and disappointments are but for a small moment, and that they shall be for our own good, as Joseph Smith was told. With faith, we can take seriously the Lord's counsel to search diligently, pray always, and be believing, and all things shall work together for our good. Axiom number 6. It is not how you start the race or where you are during the race. It is how you cross the finish line that is going to matter. John Stephen Aquari, a marathon runner from Tanzania, competed in the 1968 Summer Olympics. Suffering along the way from fatigue, leg cramps, dehydration, and disorientation, he said, "A voice called from within to go on." And so he went on. Exhausted and staggering, John Stephen Aquari was the last man to enter the stadium hours after the winner of the marathon had completed the race. When asked why he would complete a race he could never win, Aquari replied, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Enduring to the end, then, in life we are not brought to earth just to be born into mortality. We came with a mission and a purpose, and that is to endure to the end. Remember the parable of the laborers in the vineyard? All of them served the master, and all received an equal wage. It did not matter that some arrived after others, only that each one finally came and endured. If you have taken missteps in your youth, don't let that discourage or overcome you. The Lord's judgments are not spiritual GPAs with past sins and mistakes averaged into a final grade. He has promised that he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, will remember them no more. So, if you're not where you want to be, decide today to get there. Our lifetime degrees will not be graded on how well we lived up, our lifetime degrees will be graded on how well we live the commandments and how well we have fulfilled our saving ordinances, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, washings, anointings, endowments, and a sacred sealing in the temple to an eternal companion. You can cross the finish line with everyone else. Go forward, not backward. Courage, and on to the victory. Axiom 7. This is borrowed from Brigham Young. If you wish to get rich, save what you get. A fool can earn money, but it takes a wise man to save and dispose of it for his own advantage. It is in our advantage to cultivate genuine happiness in our lives. Joseph Smith taught that this happiness is the object and design of our existence. Unfortunately, we live in an age of greed, an insatiable, enslaving appetite for temporal things. Remember, temporal means temporary. And temporal things are temporary things we cannot bring with us for eternal happiness. So look forward. Take the long, eternal perspective. Be patient. Pay your tithes and offerings. Save your money. Freely give of your offerings. Do not try to have now what it took your parents years of patience of saving to acquire. Happy is the individual who can live within his means today and enjoy it. Axiom number 8. You cannot learn the Lord's will without exercising your agency and becoming accountable for your decisions. Too often, we think with little or no effort on our part, the Holy Ghost will give us answers to our questions. Like Oliver Cowdery, we take no thought, save it be to ask. And regrettably, sometimes we don't even pray. But this is not the way of the Lord. He has commanded us to study it out in our minds and then ask him if it be right. For example, when choosing an eternal companion, we do not present a list of names to the Lord and ask him to decide. Instead, we exercise our agency. By participating in dating experiences, we get to know the person's inner attitudes and outward behavior. Then we make a decision and take it to the Lord. In this way, we become accountable for our decisions and responsible to prayerfully resolve any challenges that may rise. Axiom number 9. A new interpretation of an old French proverb. The more things change, the more they stay the same. In 1975, I stood at this podium or one similar to it and held up my left hand. And I said, "We are here." And then I said, "The world is here." My left hand represented the church. And then, at that time, I imagined the world moving its way outside of this building, past Brigham City and Logan, and into Idaho. But my left hand stayed here. That was 28 years ago. Today, the world is a great deal further away than that. From my perspective, I'd put it in Australia and maybe farther and moving quickly around the world. But again, the church is still here, and will remain here as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you should expect to be different from your peers in the world. You should expect to distance yourself. Many want to have the world just stay a little behind, want the church to stay a little behind where the world is and keep moving with it. That is not the way the Lord has asked it to be. And as we come to the last days, we have to say, don't be dismayed. Those with eyes to see will recognize you as the light on the hill. They will come through the darkness. They will search you out. And they will know you know where the light is in the darkness of these latter days. Which leads me to the final axiom that I will give today. Axiom number 10. The temple of God is the greatest university. The knowledge of the truths of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is the most valuable knowledge you will ever possess. Go to the temple. The endowment is the eternal curriculum. In it, we are taught where we came from, why we are here, and we are given the promise of achieving life eternal in the celestial kingdom if we obey the commandments and covenants given us in the Lord's holy house. With these 10 axioms in mind, I want to bear a personal testimony to you and give you a promise. In striving to be a successful son of or daughter of God, you will never have to compromise the things of the kingdom. Where your divinely appointed mission takes you, wherever your life is concerned, you will never be penalized by living the gospel. However, if you compromise God's eternal principles for your own temporal gains, you will lose the eternal blessings that are rightfully yours. As a New York boy, growing up as one of only two or three members of the church in a high school of several thousand, at a recent 50-year reunion, my former classmates remembered and expressed appreciation how I had lived according to the values and beliefs of our church. I realized then that one infraction of the word of wisdom or transgression moral values would have meant I could never have said, "This is what I believe," and be trusted by my friends. We can only share the gospel to the extent we live it. During my life at college, in the military as an adjutant and as a fighter pilot, in graduate school or in my professional career, whether it be sales and marketing or as president of a division or a group vice president of a corporate headquarters, I was never required to compromise my values or beliefs. Was it easy? I don't know. I wasn't looking for easy. Was it hard? I wasn't looking for hard either. This is just the way it was, and the way it will be in your life too. Were there men and women who challenged me on my beliefs at times? Certainly. When I held my beliefs, did they respect and honor the commitment I had made to live the gospel? In every instance. If you will remember who you are and act accordingly, if you will return with honor from every calling, task, and assignment each day, if you will be true to the Savior's name and worthy of his eternal blessings, be able to have a temple recommend, and be worthy of the sacrament each week, you will always have the light of the Holy Ghost to be with you, to lead you, to guide you, and to buoy you up. You will never want for what to say or how to act. It will be given to you. How you live, what you represent, how you treat your associates, how you honor and revere your companion. My dear companion of 50 years, we've just had our golden wedding anniversary. I would not be here without her. But with your companion and your family, you can spread the influence of our Savior Jesus Christ to your friends and neighbors. For there is no greater Christian service than to become like him. heed the counsel of His Spirit, and to do His will. As the years go by, you will discover many axioms that reflect your own experience of living the gospel. Learn them, live them in your life, share them. I leave you with my testimony of who we are, children of God, with a divine purpose. I know that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ and is our Savior and Redeemer. The restored gospel of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in these Latter-day Saints has come forth under the direction of the restoration of the prophet Joseph Smith, and has given us the way to eternal happiness and salvation. President Hinckley, our prophet, seer, and revelator in these times, has been here to lead us and to guide us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you have a good life. May you want and fulfill your dreams now, and then return with honor in the eternities, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.